Acts chapter number 2, and this theme, as we mentioned it a moment ago, the wonderful works of God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, please meet every need that is represented in this meeting. We are needy people, but we know that your wonderful works are still available today, and we seek that. Your wonderful works. In Jesus' name, amen. The second chapter of Acts could be considered the most important turning point in the history of God's work with mankind. Because you see, something is beginning to change. Something is going to take place that has never taken place before. Now, the church has started. We believe that the church started with the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. But this is something that they've been waiting for. There's something here in Jerusalem that these 120 believers have been waiting for. Possibly they are in the upper room. We don't know that for sure. But Jesus has told them to wait. To wait. And we'll talk a little bit more about the timing of all of this in a minute. But it was definitely life-changing, not just for these 120. Think about this. 120 became multiple however many people today. We're talking about the empowerment of the church. You know, what is it that Canada needs in 2020? What is it that you need in 2020? What is it that your family needs? What is it that the country of Canada, as I mentioned, what is it? How about the universe, the world? I mean, the known, the inhabited world. What is it that we need? What is it that North America needs and every continent needs? What is it that, what is the hope for mankind? What is it that we need? What is it that is, let's see, I'm not saying it's missing, but it's not happening as it should be happening, and that is, I truly believe it is what our theme is today, and that is the wonderful works of God. This is what we need in 2020. We do not need anything that the government specifically has to offer. We need everything that God has to offer. We do not need anything specifically that a politician has to offer. Now, praise God for politicians that are born-again believers that are being used of the Lord. I'm not criticizing and even government or politicians. I'm just saying there's nothing that man can do for us. We need the wonderful works of God. We need pastors that are preaching the wonderful works of God. We need people that are following and longing for the wonderful works of God. And I'm talking about supernatural works of God. It is not just for Acts 2. It is not just for Acts 3 and onward. It is not just for the epistles and the Philippian church and the Colossae church and the Thessalonica church and onward and onward. It is for us today. The wonderful works of God can be seen once again in 2020. Now you see these men, these individuals waiting in that upper room. Waiting. Why? They're obedient. They're waiting. We talked about that. Many times we have to wait. Maybe we're going to talk about that again today. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit arrives on the scene like never before. Oh, we can read of the Holy Spirit coming in the Old Testament for specific events, but not in this way. And now we read of it. And now these believers are sent forth. They were waiting, and now they're sent forth. We can see both of these stages in the life of the believer and of every local church. Here it is. There are always times of waiting, and there are always times of activity. But none of it is possible without the wonderful works of our God. Where are you today? Where am I today? Oh, I'm not talking about, I'm standing here on Wedgwood Street in Burnaby. I'm talking about, are we waiting on the Lord for something? Many of us, I believe, that's where we're at right now. We have a few people in the upper room here at the church office, and you're in your living room, and your family of a few is there, or your family of one is there, or your family of five or three or two, or however many, you're there, and maybe you're in a car and you're driving down the road, but you're tuning in, and maybe you're not even in Canada right now, and you're listening to this service, and you're huddled next to a cell phone, and you're listening, and you're wanting something from the Lord, or maybe today you're listening because you have no hope right now. You've come, and I don't mean this to be unkind, but you've come to the end of it, and you just there's nothing left for you. You don't even see the purpose in life, and you don't even know why you exist, why you were born. And yet somebody invited you to come. Maybe you're on somebody's Facebook page and they've invited you to come, or you're on the church website. You got a track. Maybe you're listening today and you got one of these in your mailbox here in the local area, New Westminster and Burnaby or wherever you, Coquitlam. You got one of these and you came to the website today. And you're just searching for something. I want to tell you that the wonderful works of God are available for you today. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. God wants to save you. God wants to redeem you. God wants to encourage you. God, Christian, God wants to empower us today. The wonderful works of God are available for us right now. Here are these men. They're waiting. They have no idea what's coming. Times of waiting on the Lord and times of activity for the Lord. Neither one of these give us an excuse to do nothing, by the way. It is our desire at Anchor Baptist Church, if we're waiting on the Lord, to continue to move forward by faith. Yes, you can move forward by faith and wait at the same time. Because we're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord for whatever He has at Anchor Baptist Church. We're waiting on the Lord for our own building. Just celebrated 19 years. Praise the Lord. God's been faithful every one of those Sundays, however many there have been now, lots of them. But here we are in the 20th year and we have no building. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating a fact. We don't have a home, if you will, that is our place. And so in a sense, we've been waiting for 19 plus years. Just put up our church sign for longer than 5 hours in the yard. I'm so glad for those sandwich board signs. I could take you back and I could introduce you to several people right now that the Lord just laid on my heart that were brought to the church because of the sandwich board sign in front of the Anglican Church at the corner of Cameron and North Road. Both of these couples that God has laid on my heart have moved on. They don't even live in this area anymore. As far as I know, they're still going to Bible preaching churches. And they were introduced to Anchor Baptist Church because of a temporary sign. In fact, I remember driving the little minibus to church every Sunday back in the early days, and Caleb would be on the bus with me, and we would go past the little sign there on the corner of North Road and Cameron Street, and I would pull over and I'd put it in park. We had a big chain on the sign back in those days and a lock. And we would lock the sign to that pole, whatever pole was there. One of the city street signs, and we'd lock it there every Sunday morning, and we'd pick it up every Sunday night. Those are some fond memories. So right now but you know what? Anchor Baptist Church, to God be the glory. We haven't sat around and done nothing for 19 years because we didn't have a building. We didn't sit around and not support any missionaries and not get the gospel out. And we got so much more we could be doing. There are so many more wonderful works of God that He wants to do in and through us. But I'm just saying that wherever you're at right now, whatever is in your life right now, know this, that God has put it there for a purpose, to bring you to Himself. Recognize His wonderful works in your life. Let's look at the outline here today. Number one, in verses 1 and 2, we see the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The arrival of the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Letter A, the believers were unified. The believers were unified. That's what it means there. They were with one accord in one place. Anchor Baptist Church, it is important that we continue in these days of this way that we're having to have church, and I'm glad we have this ability today, but it is important that we stay unified in the principles of the Word of God. It is important that we do not allow division to come in and murmuring to come in and complaining to come in and bitterness to come in and questioning of God to the point of doubting what God is doing. Now, I think if we question God and we're asking God, what do you have in this for me? That's one thing. But we see here that the Bible is very clear that the believers were unified. They were in one accord. They were in one place. They had one motive. They were being obedient to what Jesus Christ had told them to do. Jesus Christ had said, go wait in Jerusalem until it's time for you to move on, and you'll know when it's time. The believers were unified. The Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. What does that mean? What does that suddenly mean? I'll tell you what it means. Letter B, he came on his own time. He came on his own time. What does that mean? Suddenly. It means this. They did not get a heads up. They did not get a warning. In other words, just so you know, I'm about to come. No, suddenly. Right? That's what it means. It's kind of a surprise. His own time. By the way, that's exactly how God works today. We've got to be obedient and trustworthy and trust Him and trust Him and be obedient and trust Him and be obedient and trust Him. And then you know what? Suddenly, He moves and His wonderful works happen. And we obey and we trust and we obey and we trust and we wait and we obey and we trust and suddenly, God provides what you need in your home. And God provides what we need at Anchor Baptist Church. And God always comes and works on His own time. Let's think about this, the timing of the Lord. Let's think about this Pentecost. Do you see that in verse number 1? Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th. 50th. It was a harvest festival that was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. I want to show you something in the Old Testament. By the way, the Old Testament is vital. It's so important. Would you go with me to the book of Leviticus? The book of Leviticus. You can get bogged down in some of these areas in the Old Testament, but I want you to plow through slowly, seeking what God has for you as you read these, okay? But all scripture is profitable, all right? But let's look at this explanation in Leviticus chapter 23. And it's amazing how this fits together. God put all this together way before Acts 2, okay? I mean, he was preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit, well, before Leviticus, but humanly speaking, He was preparing the people, the Israelites, Jews, and then Gentiles as well here in Acts. But they would remember and they would recognize what was going on. Because of this teaching, this tradition of Pentecost that was passed on from every generation. Look at Leviticus 23 and verse 15. The Bible says, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. How many days is that? 49. Okay? 7 Sabbaths. That's 7 days in a week, 7 weeks. So 49. Even unto the morrow after. Remember I said last hour that math, or was that this hour anyway? I think it was this hour. So here we're going to jump into adding. We just did multiplication. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number. So we're going to add the one day, 50 days. So now we've got 50 days. So 7 Sabbaths and a day. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. This is the harvest festival called Pentecost. Now, this is exactly what happened as we go back to Acts chapter 2 and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So, we've talked about this. Let's review though. Jesus Christ was crucified. He took his body. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights and then up from the grave he arose, like a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Christ arose. He would then walk the face of the earth for 40 days. 40 days. And then he would go back to heaven. He would ascend back to heaven. We've looked at that. 10 days later, that's where we're at right now. On the day of Pentecost, the harvest festival that was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. So we have the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The believers were unified. He came right on time. It's amazing how it came in correlation with this Old Testament harvest festival. And then number three, every believer was filled. Every believer was filled. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, the Holy Spirit of God was given by God the Father right here for the remainder of time. Now again, God is omnipresent. Okay? But let's not get too far ahead. But there's coming a day when all believers are going to be taken out of this earth. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit in that sense will change. But we're not there yet. It could be soon. It could be next week. I don't know when the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. But I'm going to give you something right now. It's not in the outline, but I want you to stay with me because everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, these were believers. Okay? These were believers. These were followers of Jesus Christ, waiting in Jerusalem, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus said in John, he said, if I go not away, the Spirit cannot come. So therefore, I'm going away. The Spirit's going to come. You just go to Jerusalem and you wait. And the Holy Spirit of God comes unexpectedly. They're unified. He came on his own time, and he came to every one of them. Now, the New Testament commands five things regarding the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you these quickly, okay? Can you write these down? And I'm going to give you a verse for each one, okay? Number one, by the way, today, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. You have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. And it is very important that we recognize that because the wonderful works of God are tied to the Holy Spirit of God. The wonderful works of God are not by man's power and ability. The wonderful works of God are tied to the Spirit of God and how we allow the Spirit of God to fill us. It's different from being filled with the Spirit or being indwelt by the Spirit. Every believer is indwelt by the Spirit. So there's five things that the New Testament talks to us about the Holy Spirit. Number one, it tells us to quench not the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Quench not the Holy Spirit. The idea there is that the Spirit is a consuming fire. And when you quench something like your thirst, you've seen this illustration, right? Water is a quencher. It quenches my thirst right now. I'm a little bit thirsty. Water will put out a fire. If you have enough water, you can put out a big fire, right? And the Holy Spirit of God is burning inside of us. Not literally, but burning in a spiritual sense. And as I'm living against the Word of God and against the ways of God, it's quenching what the Holy Spirit of God is trying to do in my life. It's taking water of the flesh and water of the world and the enemy and quenching the Spirit of God. Number two is grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit again, going against His leading. When the Holy Spirit of God directs you to do something, follow His leading. When the Holy Spirit of God directs you to witness, follow His witness. When the Holy Spirit of God challenges you in your walk, don't say no to the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Obey the Holy Spirit of God. Number three, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. You know what? When we walk in the Spirit, you know what happens? We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you walking in the Spirit? If you're not walking in the Spirit, it is important that you walk in the Spirit today, that you might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. So don't quench the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit. Number four, Jude verse 20, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God wants to help you and help me in our prayer life. Pray in the Spirit. Seek His guidance on what to pray. And then, this is the one we'll talk about for a little bit longer than the others. Let's go to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18, many of you know what it is. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, don't lose me now. A little more teachy today, but we'll just follow with me. The wonderful works of God, that's the end result of what we're talking about. Everything that takes place in Acts 2, leading into verse number 11, is all based on the Holy Spirit of God coming, and that those people could say, we have heard and seen and been a part of the wonderful works of God. Do you want the wonderful works of God in your life today? It's tied to the Holy Spirit of God. Do you want the wonderful works of God in your church today? It's tied to the Holy Spirit of God. And it comes down to all of these, but especially this one, Ephesians chapter number 6 and 5, excuse me, and verse number 18, where it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, this word filled is a present imperative verb tense. You say, Pastor Turner, whoa. Present imperative. Okay, what does that mean? Here's what it means. It is a continual process. How many of you remember the lesson that we taught many, many weeks ago about sanctification? Remember those lessons, right? Okay, we were talking about justification, sanctification, and glorification. All right? Justification is a one-time event. Okay, go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, we're building on this. We're building on this. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians 12. Be filled with the Spirit. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13? I want to show you, before we move on, that the filling and the baptism of the Spirit are not the same. And we just threw in another title there. Baptism of the Spirit. You need to understand proper biblical doctrine, because as we talked about in the first hour, there is the doctrine of the Sadducees, and that's a false doctrine. No, the Pharisees, and that's a false doctrine. I may have just mixed those up. But remember one of them, that middle one, it's the Sadducees. I had it right. Okay. The doctrine of the Sadducees is false doctrine. And there's a bunch of it regarding what we're talking about right now. So please, listen carefully, all right? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, just so you know, that word baptized there is not talking about water baptism. It's talking about spiritual baptism. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Aren't you glad that the gospel is not just for the Jew? Amen? And it's for all of us, because if it was only for the Jew, I would be up the creek and no paddle on board, because I'm not a Jew. No, it's for the Jew and the Gentile. That's what the Bible says there, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. And by the way, that's everybody. Okay, so baptism of the Spirit is another term for justification. April 1983, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And on that day, when I got saved, you know what happened? I was baptized by the Spirit of God. I was given God's Spirit. Just like here in Acts chapter 2, we're coming back there in a minute. Just like Acts chapter 2, there was, you see, the Spirit had not been given yet. From this point forward in Acts chapter number 2, as soon as someone accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and became a follower of Jesus Christ, what happened? They were baptized with the Spirit of God. It was kind of a natural thing. Spiritual, not natural, but you know what I'm saying. It just happened. They did not have to ask for any of it. It came naturally. So baptism is a one-time event. We call that salvation. Now, we just looked at Ephesians 5:18, and it says, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Remember, that is a present imperative tense verb, which means over and over and over and over and over again. You do not get baptized with the Spirit over and over and over again, as some people think, because they lose their salvation. You cannot lose what you did nothing to receive. You didn't earn salvation. I didn't earn salvation. How did we get it? We got it by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And so we are secure in Christ. We were baptized by the Holy Spirit of God when we got saved. Now, what has to take place every day of our life, and sometimes even more than one time a day, is we need to be filled with the Spirit. What does this filling mean? It means that we are controlled by the Spirit. Paul compares it to being controlled by alcohol, doesn't he? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. All right? So, let's just move on. I think we've covered enough there, and we're going to add a couple of things in as we go about this. So, number one, the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the affirmation of the Holy Spirit's coming. The affirmation of the Holy Spirit's coming. Let's go back to our text, Acts chapter number 2, verse 3. The Bible says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's stop right there. We see several signs and evidences in these verses that the Holy Spirit of God is there. Again, remember, Pentecost happened once. I'm talking about what happens here. Not the feast, but this arrival of the Holy Spirit of God. It never happens again. In the sense of the Spirit of God coming like a rushing mighty wind and the cloven tongues like as a fire and exactly like this event, it happened one time. We cannot experience Pentecost in this exact way ever again. Now, we can experience the power of God and the wonderful works of God, but this is a unique beginning to the empowerment of the local church. We must not make the tragic mistake of teaching the experiences of the apostles, but we must experience the teaching of the apostles. Did you catch that? The experience of the apostles is found in this transitional book of Acts that we're studying right now. The teaching of the apostles is set forth in the epistles, which are the guide for Christian doctrine today. We're going to go through this book of Acts, and we're going to see some amazing things that have taken place in the book of Acts that God enabled the apostles here, the apostles here, to experience in the transitional book of the beginning of the church, the empowerment of the church, and then the spreading forth of the church in the epistles in all of those cities that are mentioned in the epistles. And so that's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles, not the Acts of the Epistles. It's the Acts of the Apostles, and then when you get into the epistles, that's that doctrine of the church that we're trying to practice today, that pure doctrine. We're not trying to repeat what God allowed the apostles to do in Acts. We're not trying to go walk on snakes. We're not trying to cast out anything necessarily. We're not looking for that. Yes, we can call on God's power to do miracles. I'm not saying we can't do what we would say miracles, but we're not to seek this necessarily when it comes to the tongues part, and we're coming to that, okay? Now God enables us to do great and mighty things. So don't get into the Acts and think, how come we're not having that today? I believe that's part of God's plan to get the church going, to give credence to the church. But then in the epistles, do you read about it anymore? No, you don't. And we'll talk about the main one here in just a minute. So, now, this group of 120 that was waiting, let me tell you what they were not waiting for. Okay? They were not waiting for the gift of tongues. They were not waiting for the gift of tongues. Now, they were waiting for whatever Jesus was sending, whatever God was sending there. They had no idea what was going to take place. They were waiting for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, the affirmation of the Holy Spirit's coming. Letter A, sound of rushing wind. Sound of rushing wind. This is a picture of the mighty working of the Holy Spirit that would start in that room and spread all over the world. I want to take you to the book of Ezekiel. Would you go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37? Ezekiel. Remember what Ezekiel saw? Saw the wheel, right? Way up in the middle of the air. Look at verse 37. Or excuse me, chapter 37, sorry. And verse number 8. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no what? Breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the what? Wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may what? Live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I submit to you that that breath, we can compare that breath that came into these dead bones and these bones that had skin on them, and they were dead. Dead as a doorknob, however dead a doorknob is. And yet when the breath of God came into them, they were alive. And here's these 120 people, and they've got a great task ahead of them. But they need the filling. They need the breath of God. They need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They need something to breathe life into them, spiritual life, for the great task that was ahead of them. And that's exactly what happened. That rushing mighty wind, that breath, I believe there, is referring to the Spirit that would come here in the sound of a rushing wind. Letter A, sound of rushing wind. Letter B, we're looking at the affirmation of the Holy Spirit's coming. Letter B, there were cloven tongues of fire. As we go back to Acts chapter 2, cloven tongues of fire. Verse 3. What do we have here? We have a picture of the Holy Spirit on all the believers who were present. This was a divine power that would speak for God. Folks, when we go with the gospel, we're going as John the Baptist. We're going as a voice. What gives us our voice? Our tongue. Now, I don't mean to be crude at all right here, but I just have to use this as an illustration. You chopped my tongue off today. Please don't. And that's why I said I'm not being crude, because that's happened to some people. I'm talking about believers. They wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. You chop somebody's tongue off, they can't speak. Trust me. You can read about it. So when you see these cloven tongues, there's a lot of symbolism that's there. How were they going to go preach the gospel? How were they going to be martyrs for Christ? How were they going to go to places where they weren't wanted? And they'd have to shake the dust off of their sandals on the way out of town. How were they going to do that? They were going to go in the divine power and speak for God. They weren't going to be speaking with their tongue in their words. They were going to be speaking what the Holy Spirit of God gave them to speak. The Holy Spirit of God empowered them. It's how that the church could go from 120 to 30 and 40,000. If you follow all of the numbers, and I didn't do all those for you today, sorry. But all of the numbers in the early church in Acts there in Jerusalem, it went from 120 to, I don't remember how many, thousands and thousands of believers in a short period of time. And then persecution came because nobody wanted to get out of their comfort zone and the church spread. We're going to look at that. We'll look at that as we go along here. The point is this. The cloven tongues of fire there. To me, and when I look at that, I think of God giving me the power to preach. God giving me the power to speak for Him. God giving me, as John the Baptist said, a voice. Be a voice today, church. Yes, 2020, be a voice. Yes, June 28th, be a voice. Be a mouthpiece for God. Be a mouthpiece with the power of God, the filling of the Spirit of God. This can be available. This power is available to these mighty wonders of God. To speak and have you ever had that happen? I'm not talking about spooky stuff. I'm not talking about speaking in babble in some unknown language. No. You ever talk to somebody about the Lord and when that meeting was done, you're like, I have no idea where that came from? That's a good thing. Because you know where it came from? It came from the same place these 120, from those cloven tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit of God gave you that to speak for God. Cloven tongues of fire. Letter C. Another evidence or an affirmation of the Holy Spirit's coming. They spoke in other tongues. And I've written beside this in my notes, recognizable languages. Now you say, how do we know this? You know what? It's right here for us. Do you have your Bible there? Look if you will, down in verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. You know what? Let's go back up to verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Remember what was happening? Pentecost. There's a lot of people in Jerusalem. They were celebrating. Remember, it was a festival. There were people from all over that were there. Again, God doesn't do anything unless it's on purpose. God has a plan in your life today. God has a plan, Anchor Baptist Church. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know what it is right now, but He has one. I'm waiting and I'm trusting Him. He'll do a way better job planning than me. He'll do a way better job planning than you. But He has a plan. This might be day 45 of His plan for us. If we're looking at it in a 50 day, it may be day 7. You say, oh my goodness, this is day 7. Oh my, you have 43 days to go. I don't know what day it is, but I know this. He has a plan. He had a plan for all those people from all those nations, all those languages to be there on day 50. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died for all of these nations. Look at all the nations. They're listed in verses 9, 10, and 11. They're all there. You see all those nations? Somehow, some way, by the power of God being on these men, the Holy Spirit of God filling them, they were able, when they preached as Galileans, we're going to talk about that in just a minute, as they preached as Galileans, that's not what came out. What came out was every language that these individuals needed to hear. And the Bible says in verse 6 that they were confounded. They were, you know what they were doing? Yeah, scratching their head, scratching their chin. I can hear them. These guys aren't from my neck of the woods, but I can hear them. I know what they're saying. This guy doesn't speak my language, but I know what they're saying. This was the power of God. Now look, tongues were a sign for unbelievers. These were unbelievers that were listening to the message. We know that because at the end of Acts 2, the Bible tells us how many got saved. Bunches, thousands and thousands and thousands got saved. Why? Because of the preaching of the Word of God. The power that flowed through them. It was not a sign for believers. So again, don't set aside everything that maybe you think and look at what the Bible tells us. Go with me quickly to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Remember, God has a plan. Look what Isaiah 28 says. Please. Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another what? tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. You know, when we get saved, we are in Christ and we have a rest. There's a rest that comes, a spiritual rest that comes. I'm not today, I'm not like that little mouse or that little gerbil that's inside of the tank and he's inside that little ball and he's running as fast as he can, going nowhere in a hurry. That's not how we're to live our life. No, we've been given a rest. When we're moving forward by faith. We know we're going. God's leading us. We're pressing toward the mark, as Paul said. This was prophesied in Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. And the Apostle Paul, just don't turn right now, but listen. The Apostle Paul refers to this passage, Isaiah 28. He refers to it in 1 Corinthians 14, 21. Maybe you want to jot that down. Let me just read it for you. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, Isaiah said there was going to come a day where somebody was going to, verse number 11, with a stammering lip and another tongue, he was going to preach and not everyone was going to listen even when that happened. That's exactly what we see here in Acts chapter number 2. Now, tongues. Several things about tongues. Number one, tongues, the tongues they spoke were known languages. The word tongues is dialecto. Dialecto in the Greek. It's where we get our English word. What does that sound familiar? Dialect. Dialect. What are dialects? They're known languages or known dialects, if you will. In many countries, they have a main language and then they have many what? Dialects. Some of you are Filipino. How many dialects are there in the Philippines? We don't have time to figure it out. Probably there's so many of them, I don't know. And you're from another country. I'm not just lifting up Filipinos, but we have a lot of Filipinos at Anchor Baptist, but maybe you're from another country and there's a main language in your country, but then there's other dialects that people speak. These are known languages. Okay? There is no example in the Bible of an ecstatic speech or a private prayer language. It's not there. So if it's not there, guess what? It's not of God. I've had people ask me that all of my time, all of my being a pastor, and it's only been 19 years going into year number 20. They always talk to me about, I've had people tell me, but I pray to God in another language. And I'm not talking about a known language. And I say, but you know what? I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. And in fact, the last time tongues is talked about in the Bible is in the Corinthians, and it's in a way of correcting. And then it falls off the scene for hundreds and hundreds of years. Number two, speaking in tongues was not the normal response to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. People were filled with the Spirit of God, and there's no evidence of them speaking in tongues. I have several references. Acts 4:18, Acts 4:31. Acts 6.5, Acts 7.55, Acts 9.17. They were filled but did not speak in tongues. So speaking in tongues was not the normal response to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Number three, tongues were a sign to unbelievers. I said that already. Three times it's mentioned in Acts, and all three times unbelievers were present. So why is it today that we have churches that are filled with, well, I don't know. They're filled with believers and they still claim that they're speaking in tongues. The last point I'll say is number four. I believe biblically tongues have ceased. They were a sign gift that passed away with the passing of the apostles. They are not mentioned after 1 Corinthians. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, they were abusing it, as I mentioned. And they were unknown from the close of the first century until the 20th century. And those groups that used them that were in that time were all heretical groups. So, remember, okay, and this is going to hair lip you, and you may not like this at all, but I'm not trying to make you like me. I want you to know what the Bible teaches. We have two powers, if you will, in this world. We have God Almighty and we have the devil. Right? Yeah. And the devil is the prince and power of the air, allowed to do what he's can do or does do by God himself. So, is there speaking in tongues? Well, there may be, but it's not the Bible speaking in tongues. Bible speaking in tongues is what's going to happen tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I'm going to be preaching in English, and a man from India is going to translate from English into another known language. I'm not sure which one in India. That's going to be not in the Pentecost way, gift of tongues. Okay, remember that's not repeated. But that's going to be the tongues of what we're talking about, because tongues is dialecto, known language. And many of you speak more than one language. God bless you. That's amazing. I have trouble with one language, English. Okay? So, the affirmation of the Holy Spirit. Number three. Thank you for holding on today, all right? Number three. Really, I said all that to get to this. Don't worry, we're not going to spend as long on level number three as we have the first two. The amazement at the Holy Spirit's coming. To me, all of this that we've talked about, and there's some plowing in there, but you know what? You got to do some plowing. There's a lot of people out there today that have been duped to think that people still speak in tongues. And they say, and their tongues is this unknown language, this babble. And they can just pray to God in some unknown heavenly language. It's not in the Bible, folks. Be careful what you're following and believing. It might be real, but it might be real bad. It might be real, but it might be really wrong. In my opinion, biblically, it is really wrong. Tongues that I'm talking about, that this is what we see in the Bible, is someone speaking and someone else understanding it in a recognizable language. Okay, we've got to move on. Number three, the amazement at the Holy Spirit's coming. And that's this. Look at verse 7. At the end of verse 7, they ask a question. Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? You know what? Maybe you've just read it differently before, but I read it like, these are just Galileans. Letter A. The amazement at the Holy Spirit's coming. Letter A, Galileans were speaking. You say, did Galileans not know how to speak? No, but you know what these were? Galileans were considered uneducated in spiritual matters. They were not the creme de la creme of the religious sects of the day. So that's why it's a shock. These guys were pulling in trout last week. Or what, not last week, but you know what I'm saying. They're fishermen. They're laborers. Soon Peter's going to preach. We'll look at that in the weeks that lie ahead. And soon Peter's going to preach. And the question is, to me, the amazing part of this is, look, these are not what we would say the elite of the day. You know what that encourages me? That encourages me. Because you know what? I don't consider myself the elite of any day. Look, friend, it doesn't matter if you went to Bible college. It doesn't matter if you went to Bible Institute. All these things are good, and get into as much of it as you can. But the point is this. When the Holy Spirit of God is controlling your life, when there's amazing things that can happen to you, and it is not because you have a diploma on your wall. It is not because you have a certificate on your wall of anything. It's because you, like these men and women, were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you were a voice of the Holy Spirit of God, and someone can look at you and say, You're a preacher? You're representing Jesus now? And they're shocked by it. Because four-letter words, right, left, and center, would come out of your mouth before you got saved. Taking God's name in vain would come out of your mouth. You lived a certain way, and I'm just kind of maybe reiterating it to the way people look at us as we're changed in the image of the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God can take us in the muck and mire of sin and lift us out of the miry clay and set us upon a rock and clean us up from the inside out and fill us and use us and take our tongue and help it to speak for the glory of God and for his in His might and in His power. And amazing things can happen. The same power of the Spirit is available to us today. Yes, I'm not seeking Pentecost, but I'm seeking the power of it. I'm not seeking to stand up today in some country that doesn't speak English and think that God's going to give me the gift of tongues because I ask for it. I'm not seeking that, but I'm seeking the power of Pentecost. And so should you, Christian. By the way, you can't seek the power of Pentecost when you're living like the world. I can't seek the power of Pentecost when I've got the world all over me. I'm saying me is me and we in that statement, okay? The amazement at the Holy Spirit's coming. Who are these guys? These aren't the people I would have thought would have been preaching the Word of God. The Bible says that it's by the foolishness of preaching that the wise are confounded. Hey, God doesn't need brilliance. God needs humility. That doesn't mean that we don't study. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God and rightly divide the word of truth. I've been greatly helped by this class I'm taking right now. I think I have 1 week left. It's really challenged me about preaching and teaching the word of God. I hope to continue on this program as the Lord leads. You know what I'm learning? I'm learning more and more again that it has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with a vessel completely surrendered. That's what these 120 were. 10 days. I don't like to wait 10 minutes for anything. These were waiting 10 days. Not only that, they had seen Jesus for 40 days, 50 days in total. Jesus is gone. Maybe he forgot about us. And suddenly, they were unified. They weren't picking at each other. Church, we need that. We need that. They were unified. They were waiting on his own time, at the right time. Letter B, they were hearing in their own languages. Verse 8, how hear we every man in our own tongue where we were born? Verse 11, and we're almost done. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works. You know that in the last 3 months, we have been inundated with sickness, pestilence, crime, hearing about it on the news, reading about it, insurrection, rebellion. I may primarily be thinking of the U.S. right now. About that part, a worldwide pandemic, people dying. Yes, it's real. It is real. People are dying of this thing. Okay? I'm not belittling it. But we've been inundated with that and inundated with that and inundated with that. Here we see a group of people that were absolutely amazed by what they heard. What they heard. You know what your community and my community needs? It needs to hear anew and afresh. We're doing this track mailing. That's just a part of it. The wonderful works of God. How about you today? Is there something in your life that's preventing you from being filled with the Spirit of God? You can't be filled with self and the Spirit at the same time. You've got to be emptied of self to be filled with the Spirit. What about you? Do you even know if you died today that you would go to heaven? Have you been baptized in the Spirit? That means, have you been saved? Do you possess the Holy Spirit of God? If you die without the Holy Spirit of God, you will go to hell. When you get saved, you're given the Holy Spirit of God, and He never leaves you, and He never forsakes you. That's what the Bible talks about. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God today, interceding on our behalf. Who is in us is not Jesus. I know we say that, accept Jesus into your heart. But in the purest of terms in the Bible, we're asking Jesus to save us, but God gives us His Spirit. It stays with us until we die, and then absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Wonderful works of God. You're still available. The same power that they saw.